WAZU-FM in Pacific Grove, California. And if you're a little close, you can hear the chimes in Pacific Grove telling us it is officially 8 o'clock. And with World Watchers beginning, because that is separate from the other program, of course, it is program number 756. It is June the 2nd, 1986. There is so much news out there that I could chop up the program and divert you from the theme that I want to have this evening. I'm mainly going to talk about the blast, the nuclear reactor that blew up or had trouble, whatever you want to call it, in the Soviet Union. But I do want you to know that there are many very big news stories out there. It's a temptation to not hit on them. I just briefly want to tell you what they are, and I will be getting back to them as soon as I can. They all involve what I call terror on the right. And also, Gaddafi is very much right-wing and pro-Nazi fascist, but he's made out as a scrubby terrorist that people confuse with leftist terrorism. The first story that I'll get to as soon as possible is the arrest of Franklin Camper in Alabama. He's from Alabama, where he has the training school for cutting off the ears and cutting the throats, written up in the last two issues of Penthouse and also long article in the Wall Street Journal last year. He was arrested, arraigned in San Bernardino County for firebombing two homes of two nursery school teachers. Now, this overkill of seven people indicted is a tremendous story that should have big consequences. It's similar to James McCord, the chief of security for the entire CIA and for the committee to reelect the president, being caught at the Democratic headquarters. It has huge implications that are going to take time to develop, but I'll give you stories on his arraignment and what came down in San Bernardino County planning to kill these particular teachers who left a specific nursery school. And the teacher called Camper in Alabama, and he came out with his team to get rid of two families. The other item that's important that is a four-part story has to do with Israel, and you can't confuse those four separate sections of Israel right now. They are four different events that are very much in the news. One is the Israeli affair, the murder of two Palestinians that were taken off of a bus. It's already caused the change of the legal offices in Israel and has tremendous implications. The other is the story that's been carrying the news a lot, the plans to sell $2 million of weapons to Khomeini in Iran, and what would the Israelis be doing that for? The next story is one that broke this past week of papers that have come out of Iran, how Israel was betraying the United States and secretly sending nuclear capability to the Shah of Iran and sending it to the Shah when he was deposed, that nuclear capability would be in the hands of Khomeini. And also the Jonathan J. Pollard story is very big. He was arrested with his wife. He worked with Navy intelligence for spying on the United States government for Israel. His co-partner in the spying story is Rafi Eitan, the man I mentioned so many times, who the head of the Mossad from Israel, who, along with Robert Ernest Kaiser, said in February of 1985 that they would bring in Joseph Mengele, and they knew that Mengele was alive in February, that June 1985 story is all a hoax. And also, Jonathan J. Pollard links to Permandex and people involved in covering up the murder of John Kennedy, along with the Mossad. That's a very big story. Also, there was an arrest in Brazil. Pete Carey of the San Jose Mercury is covering that story and working on it. He's had a few articles. There are U.S. mercenaries, people sent out by Robert Brown of Soldier of Fortune, who also works with Mr. Franklin Camper, Americans using weapons from Argentina, and they were caught on a boat. There were seven of them arrested. On the way, they said, to Ghana, and I believe they were really on the way to Angola or to overthrow the Brazilian government. They were arrested in Brazil, and I'll do more on that. And then there's been quite a few stories on the Contras and the evidence and testimony that's coming out now of the plans of the Contras. And those are our CIA freedom fighters to murder the head of the American embassy in Costa Rica as an excuse to invade Nicaragua. These are very big stories and very important. Now, before to lead up to the Chernobyl event, I want to say that Ronald Reagan and the CIA, and he does it better than anybody before him, uses situations that are agent provocateur situations and creates a climate for what he wants in terms of weapons for World War III, and that's what it is, as the Soviet Union said today, the suicidal plans of Ronald Reagan that he's totally out of control. And three of the most gross examples of where he intended to escalate weapons, get weapon contracts, and so forth, came after situations that I believe were created and manipulated by Reagan and the powers that be as an excuse for to ask for more horrendous things that Congress wouldn't give him otherwise. When the Korean airline went down with Larry McDonald, who was chairman of the John Birch Society and head of the Western Goals Group linked to the military and the police departments, immediately after that, September 1983, Reagan was able to get Congress to allow and the military nuclear warheads placed in Europe, budget for the MX missiles, new nuclear submarines that cost like $60 billion each, and Secretary of the Navy John Lehman only wants 60 of those. And the contracts for military that I saved right after the KAL filled large numbers of folders just because of that one event of the evil empire. After the Challenger explosion, the shuttle blew up, and they knew, the NASA people knew, it couldn't go in the cold weather, the O-rings wouldn't hold. After that horrendous accident, on the basis that seven people had died, the emotional impact of these seven dying, the next 4 weeks or 6 weeks in the newspaper, pushing aside the Rogers Committee Commission investigation, were many articles, money for Star Wars, escalating the Star Wars, money for space stations, money for colonizing the moon and Mars, more money for turning the shuttle into military activities alone, and now there's more money to build another shuttle. Just when Rockwell and out in California are laying off people, Rockwell particularly, and Michael Deaver is a public relations man for Rockwell. If you read the LA Times this week, they're ready to fire and lay off several thousand people. But when they make their new shuttle and the Star Wars and so forth, these people will get their jobs back based on that. Now, after the explosion in the Soviet Union, as that nuclear reactor is going bad and the air is being polluted and the media is pouncing on the Soviet Union, Reagan announces just a week before, but finalizes the plan for what he calls third-generation weapons. With Edward Teller, there was the atomic weapons, then the hydrogen. Now these are the laser guns and the spray weapons of a combination of goodness knows what. And as soon as Russia had their problems, the same week, a day before the explosion was identified, Reagan was announcing that he would make 200 to 300 tests underground of the third-generation weapons in Las Vegas. We've done six this year that have caused a lot of controversy. He's announced he'll do up to 300. Very shortly, he has decided to throw away the SALT agreement completely, scrub two submarines, and then get billions to build more anyway. But this arms control is something he never intended to have. He throws that out the window at the same time as the Chernobyl to identify the mistrust of the Soviet Union. How can you trust them? Trust us. And now we got to have more arms because look how they lie to themselves and lie to us. And the news became a convoluted Cold War. Then he asked NATO, and I just briefly mentioned last week, we're going into the millions and millions of dollars for binary nerve gas, and nerve gas not manufactured since 1969 and when even Nixon came in. Escalation of that. And now all the cancers in Europe for the next 20 years, he can blame on the Soviet Union, the reactor accident, not taking into account a lot of other things that have happened to people earlier, so that the nuclear weapons will escalate, the third generation new kinds of weapons, the binary nerve gas, the SALT agreement is thrown out totally, and it comes right after the explosion at the nuclear factory in Chernobyl. Now, the Soviet Union had an article that they published in Pravda, a letter that was important. Somebody called my attention to it this week, just this weekend. And you might have seen in the Monterey Herald, it was also in the LA Times. It's titled, Pravda Sets a Precedent by Using a Protest Letter That Was Sent to Them. And Pravda had an article, May 7th, the edition of their newspaper, suggesting the CIA arranged a recent bombing of a West Berlin nightclub that led to an American airstrike against Libya. It turns out now that the main suspect in that bombing actually came from Jordan, a Jordanian and a PLO with close links to possible CIA intelligence operations. And this in South Yemen was in the newspaper and published this charge because there's a lot of information that the Berlin bombing was not done by Gaddafi, but that was our excuse to go into the Gulf of Sidra and to bomb Tripoli and another city in Libya. And Pravda published a letter of Richard Combs, the minister counselor in the Soviet Union, because our ambassador was away at the time, conveniently away. Ambassador Arthur Hartman wasn't there. And he wrote a letter to Pravda saying, I was astonished that you would put in your newspaper the ruling party of the Soviet Union lies, and he requested a retraction of the South Yemen news. And he said, these are fantasies, and Pravda objected to the tone of the letter. They published the letter, and they felt that he put in the letter, I'm going to keep an eye on what you write in the Soviet Union. And Pravda answered, since when does the United States Embassy consider it has a right to encroach upon the freedom of press and information and assume its role to censor deciding what should be or should not be published? Pravda asked, they asked that question, and it said, Pravda said, this is not the United States. They have information from South Yemen and from the PLO and from Jordanians that the CIA arranged the disco bombing as an excuse to get into Libya. And the American embassy says, how dare you? You can't publish that. We're going to see what you publish. And they reacted and said, since when did you tell us what to publish? This is what we think happened. Now, along those lines, May the 23rd, this past week, a very important Libyan, a former Libyan diplomat, was murdered in East Berlin Park. This was in the New York Times and the L.A. Herald, May 23rd, 1968. Bonn, West Germany, a former Libyan diplomat was killed this month in East Berlin Park. There was speculation that his death might have been tied to the investigation in the terrorist attack in West Berlin. And this sounds like a Lee Harvey Oswald who was killed by Jack Ruby, so that the connections of the military intelligence of the Defense Department to the murder of John Kennedy wouldn't come about. You say Oswald did it, and 2 days later Oswald is dead, and history is, for all purposes, is to think Oswald did it and not make a connection on his death and the fact that there was another story. The Soviet Union publishes an account in May the 8th, the CIA set this up. And then on May 23rd, this fellow from West Germany, he was living in West Germany. He was a diplomat in West Germany, but he goes back and forth between there and East Germany. And it was from East Germany that a telephone call went down to Libya saying, we're going to do this bombing in Berlin. And then after the bombing took place, another phone call came and said, we did it. We bombed that nightclub. And that was the basis upon which Ronald Reagan and none of the other allies, except Margaret Thatcher, allowing our planes to leave from England, would get in on this story. There was absolutely no proof that the person doing it was not working with the CIA and setting up the excuse to do to Libya what Alexander Haig wanted to do and had planned to do since 1981. Now, the story is that the poor guy, his name is Mohammed Ashur, he was 42 years old. He left the Libyan embassy in Bonn, and then from West Germany, and then went to East Germany, and they felt that he had been working with people who had been accused of doing the bombing of the Berlin Disco, and that the blast at La Belle Club was attributed by the Reagan administration to the Libyan embassy in East Berlin, where this guy could visit, going back and forth. But his background was anti-Gaddafi. He was getting a doctoral candidate in political science at the Free University in West Berlin. He was killed in a park near the American embassy, but he worked with the people in East Berlin, and he could have been the one who used the telephone to make the calls. And then when he was connected by those people being apprehended for their role and they're not Libyan in the Berlin Disco, he was killed on a bench near the embassy, and so that part of history will never be told. Now, I believe that the Chernobyl accident would or could be set up by agent provocateurs for any number of reasons, and I'll cite them and cite information on why I believe it. I'll do as much as I can this evening and continue it next week if I can't do the whole story. Just as I did after the Challenger went down, I think the second week after it went down, I cited 28 reasons in 1 hour why I thought it was meant to go, why it was allowed to go, and what would come of that particular disaster to the advantage of the Defense Department and the aerospace people. And later, as the story unfolded, they had every indication or reason to know that in this given temperature it would go, that the machine malfunctioned, it's a miracle it ever got up, and so forth. And I think the same thing happened because of the strategic timing of the Chernobyl affair. It had to do at a time when the president was going to the summit in Japan. He could use that when Radio Free America needed 21 million before July the 1st, and they were saying, look, with what we did at Chernobyl, we should be getting 21 million before the deadline, or else we'll take it from the Defense Department. It had to do with the reunion of the Sudeten Germans, former Nazis that moved to West Germany after the war. The Helmut Kohl meets every year. Right after that, he was meeting with them. And there were a lot of reasons for the timing at this particular moment that were used by the experts to get or try to get everything they wanted. Now, one of the interesting stories about this that is similar to the Libyan from West Germany being killed on a park in West Germany who worked with Libyans in East Germany, linked to the disco club, was an article in the San Francisco Chronicle last week, May 24th. Soviet officer dies, possible Chernobyl link. And this could be a punishment. The article read really strangely, but I've seen it in other military books the way it read. Moscow. Colonel General Leonid Goncharov, chief of the Air Defense Military Academy, died in line of duty Wednesday. Izvezda, the news, German newspaper, said he was 60 years old. The military newspaper Red Star did not give the cause of death. They say he only died suddenly while executing his services and his duties. As the military academy is in Kiev, there's a lot of speculation about Chernobyl and whether his death was involved with a nuclear accident. A Western diplomat referring to the April 26th accident at the facilities 80 miles north of Kiev. Goncharov joined the army forces in 1943. And there are many books on this time period of the merger of Germans with people in the Soviet Union, particularly those years when the Nazis went underground and recruited people who now work with our Central Intelligence Agency, with the World Anti-Communist League, with the Contras, who formed teams with Reinhard Gehlen inside of the Eastern Bloc and inside of Russia at this exact time period in 1943 when Russia couldn't be conquered. He was in this time period where he goes into the army. He rose from a student to a colonel general. He fought in the Second Ukrainian and Far Eastern Fronts. And that area, the Belarusa group in the Ukraine and in Minsk, that whole area was the nest of the future agents for the intelligence community, for Reinhard Gehlen's operations after the war, Hitler's chief of intelligence east that became part of our CIA. He worked in the Far Eastern Front during World War II and was highly decorated. Just said he died in the line of duty, suddenly executing his service duties, whatever those were. But then another article followed, and some of the articles I'm citing this evening are from the newspaper, The Washington Times. A lot of people on the West Coast or people that hear World Watchers don't take this paper. It's a very inexpensive paper, and it's a good one to read. It's published by Reverend Moon, one of the founders of the World Anti-Communist League, which uses the Belarusian and the Minsk and the Eastern European Nazis for the purposes of starting World War III. And Arno de Borchgrave, the publisher of this newspaper, is a part of the Georgetown disinformation team that works with Richard Allen and Henry Kissinger and Gene Kirkpatrick and Michael Ledeen. And those people who use agent provocateurs such as Michael Ledeen and Claire Sterling lying about the Bulgarians trying to shoot the Pope, trying to affect history by making a thread to the Soviet Union that didn't exist, even the trial of the centuries that they referred to as the trial of Azad, this last one. So when I refer to these articles of the Washington Times, that's the background of the newspaper that Reagan reads the most in Washington. Now, this article is May 13th. Soviet disciplines three at Chernobyl. And this is about three people who were removed from office because of, from their jobs because of what happened. The article said the three men fired were fired. One thing was their handling of the underestimating the scope of the accident. They mishandled the evacuation and the large scope of the accident. Now, if they were responsible for summarizing how bad it was, this was the matter that got Mr. Gorbachev into so much trouble. And he literally was in a state of shock for a few days until he had interviews. And all these people were already out of office. By May 13th, they didn't have their jobs. They underestimated the scope of the accident. And it seems to me that anyone in the Soviet Union, any scientist, would be qualified who works with the nuclear industry or space and so forth. They would be qualified to announce to the world what happened unless those people announcing what happened held it back for the consequences of what we saw later. These people did not talk about the radiation. It was part of the Belarusa group in the Ukraine and in Kiev that they were silent about. They were supposed to help people evacuate, and they didn't do it. And the Washington Times says that there is a political fallout from the accident that could extend to the upper reaches of the Communist Party, that because of these three officers, the fallout will go further because of the chain of command, just as the Rogers Commission with the shuttle fallout kept going up and up, even though some people said we shouldn't launch, others said we will launch, and it hasn't gone up to the White House. It doesn't move all the way up. But in the Soviet Union, the lower people, of course, are fired first. One of them, the manager, was Mr. Sisharenko and another Shapoval, and they were accused of doing nothing to help the people who were supposed to get jobs and get clothing, and they, in quotes, neglected the legitimate requests of the evacuees. One gentleman was expelled from the Communist Party. One was reprimanded. Two of them lost their jobs. And another one from the trucking agency was reprimanded, but he wasn't fired. And Pravda said the collective paid dearly for the political immaturity, the failure to realize the situation by irresponsible managers. And I wonder if they were immature and if they were irresponsible, or if they were indeed trying to sabotage for the effect that came down. In Vienna, the headquarters of the International Atomic Energy Agency, the Nuclear Safety Division, they were assured by the Soviet Union that the fuel wouldn't burn through the reactor into the earth. But in Vienna, there is a nest of people giving out information on the Soviet Union that has been very damaging to the Soviet Union, and that is the home base of Mr. Waldheim. And you've been reading his track record in the papers lately. I hope you've been keeping up with that. And the home base of Otto Skorzeny, and the home base of Otto von Bolschwing, and the creation of the Fourth Reich, and again, the war against Russia. Headquarters are in Vienna, the International Fascist Headquarters are in Vienna. That was one of the articles I found among my father's collections, was the offices in Vienna for the World Fascist Organization. And that's what Otto Skorzeny was setting up with Reinhard Gehlen. And he had all this information in his files about Vienna. And they also control information that comes out on the nuclear plants. Now, Reverend Moon's newspaper, Washington Times, had another article May 16th, which was a list of about 22 accusations against the Soviet Union. And this came out just 2 weeks after the tragedy, and hardly a time to analyze which way the wind was blowing, where the nuclear fallout was. And the person helping write this article was Alex Alexeyev, a Soviet specialist from RAND Corporation and Defense Department. And I read the list, and I couldn't believe how quickly they could get out in one article all this material because of this terrible disaster and tragedy at Chernobyl, which luckily it wasn't us. We have 9 nuclear reactors like that. And this article coming from our Defense Department was really attacking them. The title seems mild. A shakeup is expected after a meltdown. Later it turned out it wasn't even a meltdown. But the article begins, "The fallout from the Chernobyl disaster is already dissipating. The political and economic repercussions for the Soviet Union are tremendous, the political and economic. Then it continues, the analysts say it will be years before the effect can be gauged by the outside world. You can worry about the Soviet Union and the fallout and cancer potentials for years. Then it's that Mikhail Gorbachev's image has certainly suffered from his days of silence, and it could be that he could have spoken up right away but wasn't told exactly what happened and was trying to find out why these people had not told him, had not functioned, and could literally be in a state of shock from this. And they, of course, were saying his image has suffered. Instead of looking at the tragedy of the event, our country is worried about the image. What you look at is what you see. You want to look at an image, and if that image is slow in discussing something, which the Soviet Union does, it sometimes it takes them years to share information, and we don't tell everything we know about our explosions or testing and what we've done above ground in the way of nuclear testing that we're feeling the effect of right now. The article said the Soviet attempt to place the blame on local authorities is unlikely to appease anyone except their own citizens. In this country, we blame it on the local small level, and we're satisfied with that. We don't chop off heads if it doesn't go to the top. So I don't know why the Soviet Union, they won't be satisfied with those explanations. It goes on to say that the Soviet leader now has the opportunity to purge the boss of the Ukraine party, and they mentioned him, and that he's one of the few holders from the Brezhnev era. I don't know why the communist boss of the Ukraine has to be purged because the poor nuclear reactor went bad, but they're saying now it's time to change people, and maybe this is somebody they didn't want in, and they're saying you have to change, and they say now you have to get rid of the entire party apparatus because of the Kiev blast. I don't understand how we can write those things in America and assume that that's necessary in Russia. The article goes on, Moscow's relations with its nations, with other nations have suffered, that we had trouble in the United States with a raid on Libya, but less than a week before the meltdown in the Ukraine, the Libya attack took place, but you can forget it now, it's out of the news, and of course Libya was wiped out, Ronald Reagan's mistakes of where he bombed and what he did, or the flimsy reason on why he did it, is all forgotten. They say, look, the attention's on Gorbachev, and the NATO alliance now is more close together. He tried to split us, and he's objected to the nuclear testing and so forth, and so have they, that Gorbachev is not to be trusted, and so forget Libya, and the NATO people should be closer than ever. The article goes on, the Soviet mishandling of the nuclear accident makes the Scandinavians less receptive to the idea of a Soviet-sponsored nuclear-free zone. Well, it seems to me a nuclear disaster, whether you told the truth or lie, would be the reason to have the nuclear-free zone, not the fact that you had a reactor that went bad. But they say, forget it, the Scandinavians shouldn't touch the Russians. Then the article says the radioactive cloud has angered the European governments, including the neutrals. Radioactivity should scare anybody. And this idea, you know, that we will build more nuclear. Ronald Reagan is saying we will have more nuclear weapons. We'll test 200 to 300 under the ground. We're going to use them, and why the world should feel safe that we have sent nuclear warheads all over the world and not reprimand Israel for even sending them or having sent them or wanting to Iran, where they could get into the hands of people like Khomeini. But when Russia has an accident, then we should make more nuclear weapons, because how do we know it won't happen to us? That was the excuse, to make more nuclear weapons because Russia had an accident. And the nuclear cloud was over Europe. Then it goes on to say that the Poles living in the western Ukraine were told, imagine their reaction to Polish broadcasts telling them things their own government failed to tell them. Well, our news media, Radio Free Europe and Radio, the U.S. Information Agency, were telling them 2,000 were dead, 36,000 were dead, everybody's going to die of contamination, your food is spoiled. And we bragged about our wonderful service aimed at Russia as soon as the reactor went bad, just as the same news services knew in advance of the bombing of Libya. And as soon as it was bombed in two cities, they were telling the Libyans, don't trust Gaddafi, you don't like him, have a revolution, get rid of Gaddafi. The CIA wants to get rid of him, so you get rid of him. And this is going on, the U.S. information agencies and the Radio Free America, and then it turns out that because of their service of telling the people in the Ukraine things that Russia wouldn't tell them. It proves that we have to have 21 million for these radio services in Munich, and it was set up by Reinhard Gehlen, Hitler's chief of intelligence, because of the Chernobyl accident. Now the Defense Department, either you, the taxpayers, Congress, or the Defense Department has to give Radio Free Europe this money because of the wonderful thing they did at Chernobyl. I'll take a 1-minute break and go on to some more details of the Chernobyl accident.